Galatians chapter 6, 1 to 16. Brothers and sisters, what if someone is caught in a sin? Then you who are guided by the Spirit should correct that person. Do it in a gentle way, but be careful. You could be tempted too. Carry each other's heavy loads. If you do, you will give the law of Christ its full meaning. If you think you are somebody when you are nobody, you are fooling yourselves. Each of you should put your own actions to the test. Then you can take pride in yourself. You won't be comparing yourself to somebody else. Each of you should carry your own load. Those who are taught the word must share all good things with their teacher. Don't be fooled. You can't outsmart God. A man gathers a crop from what he plants. Some people plant to please their sinful nature. From that nature, they will harvest death. Others plant to please the Holy Spirit. From the Spirit, they will harvest eternal life. Let us not become tired of doing good. At the right time, we will gather a crop if we don't give up. So when we can do good to everyone, let us do it. Let us make a special point of doing good to those who belong to the family of believers. Look at the big letters I'm using as I write to you with my own hand. Some people want others to think well of them. They are trying to force you to be circumcised. They do it for only one reason. They don't want to suffer by being connected with the cross of Christ. Even those who are circumcised don't obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised. Then they can brag about what has been done to your body. I never want to brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through that cross, the ways of the world have been crucified as far as I am concerned. And I have been crucified as far as the ways of the world are concerned. Circumcision and uncircumcision don't mean anything. What really counts is the creation of a new nature. May peace and mercy be given to all who follow this rule. May peace and mercy be given to the Israel that belongs to God.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One of the songs that the 1960s is best known for is a song by the Hollies known as "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." I think many of you probably remember this song. And back at that time, songs were often released on a small vinyl record known as a 45. I was looking for one, but I couldn't seem to find one. And I actually found out the reason they called it 45s is because it spins 45 times a minute. Did anybody know that? At any rate, this record held one song on each side. On these 45s, the hit song would be on one side and the B song would be on the other. And most people thought that the B song was kind of a filler, a space on the back of the record, well, because something had to go there, so it was kind of just taking that space. And that's one of the interesting things about this song. It still carries meaning for us today, yet it was one of those B songs that the producers never thought would amount to the hit that it became. One of the explanations of the origin of the name of this song came from a well-known Vietnam War photo where an American soldier is carrying a Vietnamese man on his shoulders. A journalist asked the soldier if he'd been carrying the man far, and the soldier smiled at the camera and said, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." There is other stories, several others actually, about the origins of the song, so I'm not sure if that is true. I couldn't find a picture, but all of the origins of the song seem to point to one thing: bearing each other's burdens. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we are all brothers and sisters through faith. All being brothers and sisters in Christ, God wants us to help each other in good times and bad. to help each other each stay focused on Jesus as our way to abundant life. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. The scripture you heard this morning comes from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the new church in Galatia. The reason that Paul wrote this letter to the Christians there was that some of them had infused a false teaching into the Gospels of Jesus Christ, insisting that people perform certain works, especially circumcision, in order to be a believer, considered believers, and in order to earn salvation. And I earn salvation. Paul addresses this, saying, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. It's about being transformed, changed from the inside. Outward appearances are not important, and it is by grace, not works, that we find salvation. God's arms are huge, and they embrace us all. Jesus spread his arms to all during his life on earth, and now those same loving, self-sacrificing arms are spread to embrace each and every person, no matter what ethnicity, circumcised or uncircumcised, straight or gay, young or old, sinners all, and all are redeemed by Jesus, and all are welcomed at the table. There are no laws, no rules, no signs that God has made to exclude anyone. Jesus just says to us, love one another even as I first loved you. In his letter, Paul also responds to a tough question. What about members of the church who profess themselves to be Christians, yet still continue to sin? Is it their problem and not ours? Or is this a problem for the entire body of Christ? Paul doesn't beat around the bush when he says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, restore him gently. He reminds Christians that they should never think themselves better than anyone else. He urges them and us to watch yourself, or you may be tempted yourself. In the Message Bible, it simply says, save your critical comments for yourself. You may be needing forgiveness before the day is out. It's important to remember that temptation itself is not a sin. In fact, as we know, Jesus himself was tempted. It's when we give in to that temptation that sin is committed. A Facebook and real-life friend of mine shared something recently that I wanted to share with you here now. It was one of those little captions that you can share, and it says, don't judge somebody just because they sin differently from you. I thought that was very cool. So true. Let's face it, we all sin. Being Christians, we want to follow Christ and grow to be more and more like him. But we are weak and imperfect, and we constantly make mistakes and bad choices that separate us from God instead of bringing us closer. This is sin, and we all have our personal weaknesses that we need to overcome. In our day-to-day lives, we're sometimes confronted with others around us who we may feel are doing something contrary to the will of God, and we're afraid to say anything about it. We are safely silent with our adult children, close friends, parents. We've learned to keep our mouths shut. We don't want to be nosy. We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to give advice when it's not asked for. We don't want to appear to think that we are better than they are. We don't want to strain our friendship with them. We don't want to make it testy between us. Or maybe we are plain timid or chicken or gutless or whatever you want to call it. And so, for a whole variety of legitimate reasons, most of us are reluctant to tell another person our honest feelings about what they're doing. And so we silently watch each other. We silently watch a man have very little time for his wife and family because he's too absorbed in his work. We silently watch a woman become so preoccupied with her job that she doesn't have time to mother. We silently watch a couple indulgently squander all of their money on themselves. We watch children acting rudely to their parents, grandparents, and others in authority. We silently watch a friend drink too much and become consumed by alcohol. We watch a friend consistently lose their temper. And in most of these situations, we say nothing. The social mores of our time are very firm. Don't get involved. Don't push your way into somebody else's problems. Don't say anything personally negative to another person if you value that person's friendship. The social guidelines are not only firm, but they're pretty darn rigid. Because of the strong social mores, almost none of us can be truly and fully honest with each other about each other. Few of us can be truly and fully honest about the way we raise our children. about the ways we spend our time and money, about the ways I personally conduct my lay ministry. Almost none of you, and I do say almost because some can be truly honest with me, call me on it, and almost never can I say such things to you. Except, of course, we do tend to talk about these things behind each other's backs. How unfortunate, really. What a shame that honest, wise, sage advice from loving people can't be given, weighed, and considered. How unfortunate that we usually don't allow such openness with one another. Christians are called to be brave and be real. It can be a tough burden indeed at times to live this way. Paul counsels, if you do speak to others, be very gentle. If you do speak to others, be humble and not self-righteous, being very aware that you too fall short of the glory of God and can succumb to temptations. If you do speak to others, it takes maturity to reprove another person. It takes a combination of kindness, love, and insight, blended with wisdom, to speak a wise, correcting word to a friend or relative. Late in the summer, I sometimes go blackberry picking. I love to go picking at that time because the berries are so ripe. You just stick your hands in there and they fall in your hands. Some of you may have experienced that. It's wonderful. But, of course, you have to be very careful when you're picking blackberries because those thorns that are attached to those berries are brutal. They prick and scratch you something awful if you're not very careful. That's why most birds leave the blackberries alone, and there's no easy way to get at the right blackberries. So when you want to speak to a family member or a friend about a problem you think they are having and needs to be addressed, you could approach that person like you approach a blackberry bush, very slowly, carefully, and thoughtfully asking God's Spirit to guide you. This past Lent, a small group in our church family met for 12-week study of the book Celebration of Discipline, written by Richard Foster. Awesome book. This study examined the many spiritual disciplines given to us to bring us closer to God so that we may be changed and transformed into this new creation that Paul is talking about. During this study, we got into the discipline of service, and I was quite surprised at some of the types of service that were named for us to practice in our lives. One type of service named was to bear the burdens of each other. As our scripture taught today, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. Love is most perfectly fulfilled when we bear the hurts and sufferings of each other, weeping with those who weep. We have to learn, though, to bear one another's sorrows, and we can learn to uphold the burdens of each other without being destroyed by them. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden light." We can learn to lift the sorrows and pains of others into the strong, tender arms of Jesus so that our burden is lighter. But it takes practice. Just as a soldier will never leave another soldier behind, we as Christians can never ignore the needs of one another, another brother and sister in the faith or outside of our faith, whether that person needs food, shelter, or in this case, gentle reprimanding because of sin. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And I wanted to close with just repeat some of the lyrics in this song because it actually does speak very much to my heart anyway. The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Let's pray. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who welcomes us all to this kingdom. May it be so. And now we continue, we respond in faith and service as we offer. With joy, let us present offerings of commitment and support for